You're listening to the Radio Cafe, coming to you from the Santa Fe New Mexican and radiocafe.org, where you can contact us at any time. I'm your host, Mary Charlotte. And before we start the program today, we'd like to thank the sponsors of the Radio Cafe. The Radio Cafe is brought to you in part by Total Wine and More. With their new location in Santa Fe, they can enhance your summer dinners, barbecues, and brunch parties. They make it easy with their famous in-store tasting bar. For example, you can taste a delicious Oak Ridge Zinfandel, and for summertime brunch, there's the Rondell Gold Brut Cava, which is such a good sparkling wine for mimosas. Total Wine and More has a location in Albuquerque, and their new Santa Fe store is on Zafirano. You can go to totalwine.com for in-store pickup, too. And if you use my promo code, you can save even more. Use code 6979 at the store or online and receive $10 off your next $50 purchase. That's code 6979. And thanks again to Total Wine and More for sponsoring the Radio Cafe. And the Radio Cafe is brought to you today by the City of Santa Fe Water Conservation. After a warm winter with lots of beautiful blue skies but very little moisture, the city is calling on its residents to renew our water conservation efforts. Visit facebook.com/savewatersantafe to take the new online water quiz and learn how to save water and contribute long-term to keeping Santa Fe green and healthy. You'll also find out how to earn hundreds and even thousands of dollars by making your home and workplace more water-wise. That's facebook.com/savewatersantafe. And thanks to the City of Santa Fe Water Conservation for sponsoring the Radio Cafe. And by the way, if you want to sponsor the Radio Cafe, you can contact Henry Lopez. His email is hlopez@sfnewmexican.com. You can also call 505-986-3054, or you can go to radiocafe.org and click on New Mexican and find all that information there. And now to our program. I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Agnes Chavez. She's an interdisciplinary artist, educator, and co-founder of the Paseo Project in Taos, New Mexico. Frank Regano is co-founder of Currents New Media here in Santa Fe. And Caitlin McShay is at the Santa Fe Institute, where she is Interplanetary Festival Director. The Interplanetary Festival and Currents New Media and the work that you're doing, Agnes, are all part of a kind of grand art and technology festival that's happening starting on the 7th of June. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. Thank you for having us.
So we will talk about what these festivals are and how they came into being and how they're interconnected. One of the things I wanted to ask each one of you is that, I mean, the work you're all doing as artists, as producers of events, brings together art, technology, and science. And I was thinking about the relationship between art and technology. They weren't even always separate things. The etymology of art comes basically from artisan and craft. It has its roots are a lot more practical than what you think of when you think of like art for art's sake. The Greek word for science means knowledge or understanding. That's not limited to what we now think of as science. So can each of you speak a little bit about your own ideas on the interdisciplinary nature of what you're doing and how you're bringing it to the public?
For me, one of the things that art, science, and technology share, especially in an innovative sense, is they all are involved with exploration and experimentation, which is true for any artist, true for any scientist, and true for any technological innovator. It's really that focus on exploration and experimentation.
What about you, Agnes?
Well, as an artist, I feel that the connection, like when I work a lot with particle physicists, and people always say, why, you know, how can that be? You know, as an artist, how does that feel? But for me, I feel like we're both exploring the universe and where we come from and those big questions. And we're just doing it in different ways. And the other way, from a community perspective, when I do a lot of, through the festival that I organize in Taos, we do a lot of community, we bring this art, science, and technology into the communities. And it's a way to empower people and bring technologies to them to learn the latest cutting-edge technologies. So there's just a lot of, I see more commonalities than differences.
Caitlin McShay.
Yeah, so kind of in representation of the work that's done at SFI, we think that the you know, collaboration with artists, with arts and new media is really effective, because in the arts, there exists this space for imagination and thought experimentation. And so when we see these new scientific technologies for motion or energy or travel in any way, cultivation of plants in strange places, what have you, there are these venues in film or in, you know, sci-fi kind of explorations that allow us to kind of play with what's at stake in that technology and explore it further. And so without that opportunity, a lot of these thoughts kind of end at the, you know, finished product. And there is this kind of really wonderful way with which the expression of the consequences of those technologies is mapped out further through the arts.
So give us some specifics.
Like, okay, so for instance, when we think about artificial intelligence and the way that that might assist us in certain capacities, we might have a certain precondition or like preconditions towards or against it based on certain ways that we've seen it expressed in art. But we also see really beneficial ways through art as well. I'm thinking of Interstellar, for instance. There's this wonderful little robot there that sacrifices itself for the sake of the crew.
Interstellar what?
Interstellar, this film, film that came out a few years ago. And this is just an example. It's a film that kind of studies a certain crew out in space kind of floating around. And it's in that artistic expression that we see this interaction between humans and an artificial intelligent machine that helps in a really positive way, as opposed to HAL in 2001,
right,
who was
right.
a little, you know, menacing and terrifying. Spoiler alert. So I think that that's kind of one really wonderful way with which we want to engage in the arts a little more from the science perspective, is how do the arts give us this space for innovation and imagination beyond the creation of the technology itself or the research.
Talk about, Frank Rugano, talk about Currents. What is it and how has it evolved? I have the privilege of having witnessed it really from almost the beginning, because you come on the show almost every year to talk about what you're doing.
Well, Currents started out, Mariana Amster and I, who were the founders of Currents and now are a nonprofit, so we're the co-executive artistic directors. We started in 2002 as artists, to really give local artists who are working in the media arts a venue. So our first exhibition was at the warehouse at CCA. And then that was a big success, and everything seemed to go well. So we just started doing it every year, every other year as pop-ups, galleries, Art Santa Fe, different places, until 2010, when we decided, well, everybody seems to like this, so let's get a little bigger. So that's when we started this idea of an international festival. Since 2010, annually, we've had a international media arts festival at El Museo Cultural in the Rail Yard. This will be our ninth year. Media arts, meaning interactive art, video, virtual reality, augmented reality, robotics, 3D printing now. So we pretty much cover the gamut of what's considered media arts. And there's a lot of works that definitely are in between science and art.
When you're talking, the phrase, the media is the message, came into my mind. But of course, when you have the kind of media, some of which are really cutting edge, new media technologies being presented, still inside of all of that, there's a human being doing art, telling stories, giving a sense of place. What are some of, in the past, your favorite and most memorable installations or pieces that you've witnessed at Currents? And what are you looking forward to in the new round?
Well, let me say one thing first is that one of the things that distinguishes us from other festivals around the world is that our focus is really the art, and it's how artists are using technology in service to the art. But it's really a feedback loop, because the artists work with the technology through feedback from them changes, and that changes the artist. So it's very tied in, but it's really the art is our focus. We had a piece last year that was one of my favorite all-time pieces, and it was actually very simple. It appeared simple. It was a little bit complex, but and unusual in that it was a sofa, a Victorian sofa, that the artist had taken apart and taken out the springs and replace those with two gyroscopes, satellite gyroscopes, so that the sofa balanced on one front leg, almost at 90 degrees, probably at 75 degrees or something. And you would see it teetering, always trying to find its balance. So technologically, it was quite beautiful, and aesthetically, it was beautiful, but it also as a human being watching that, you knew exactly how that feels.
Right.
You know, you've just felt it. And it was one of the best pieces of poetry, technology, and art mixed together I've ever seen.
And it wasn't interactive in the sense that people tried to sit down on it and fell off or something like that.
No, but it would fall. Occasionally it would fall. And he had taken the thing apart, the couch apart, and put it back together with magnets. So that when it did fall, it busted into like 10 pieces.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was, you know, you were really lucky when you got to see it fall, actually. It was pretty dramatic. So, and then you just snapped it back together and stood it back up. Although it took art just to get it to stand up. You had to just find that sweet spot to get it to stand up. That was a wonderful piece. We had another piece last year that was really a cross between art and science. But it was also in that category, as the couch was, of poetry. And it was a plexiglass case. It was about 18 inches by 18 inches. And there was a little robotic arm on the top that would dip into this little pot and then come up. It was like a funnel, like a little nose kind of. And then come up and then go into the plexi case and blow a soap bubble. And the soap bubble would sit floating in the middle of that case. The longest we had one was 45 minutes.
Oh,
just
my goodness.
Floating right in the middle of the thing. And it was, the science part was, she was controlling the atmosphere and had a reading, so you knew what the atmosphere is in the box, because there was dry ice on the bottom that created this level of carbon dioxide that the bubble just sat on. And so she was mixing this, testing the atmosphere. I mean, but it was incredible. It was called The Long Now, which was just a great name. And people just love it. People are mesmerized. When do you get to watch a bubble for like 10 minutes?
Right.
But once again, you knew what that felt like, that the long now and that ephemeralness of that bubble and how long is it going to, you know, and then when it pops, it's a shock. But you know that feeling inside. So those are the kind of places, those two pieces, where the technology crosses over into the human because you can relate to it immediately.
Right. And into the beautiful.
The beauty. Both were beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Agnes Chavez, tell us about some of the work that you're doing, both in this festival and maybe outside as well.
Yeah. Well, the current project that I'm working on now is with CERN, the physics laboratory in Geneva, Switzerland. And I'm designing a permanent installation there at the visitor center where the data center is. And it's going to visualize the data coming out of the Large Hadron Collider. So the assignment was they needed a piece for a stairwell that's about 42 feet high, but only 70 centimeters wide and 270 centimeters long. So it's this long, skinny space and lots of light. The mission was to create an installation that would communicate to the visitors this data that they are constantly collecting there, that how do you communicate data to visitors? They never can grasp the magnitude or why so much data and what are they doing over there at CERN? And they really needed an artistic vision for visualizing that data. So that's what I'm working on right now. And I'll be talking about that at the Laser Talk with the Biocultura space that's hosting the Laser Talk at the Evoke Gallery. And I'll be talking along with Richard Lowenberg, who has a relationship with NASA. So it's a NASA CERN artist scientist kind of a talk.
And when is that?
That's on June 8th.
That's on June 8th. And we'll get to all the details at the end of the program. Now, it's interesting to think about, you know, how do you visualize data? Because, I mean, data in itself is nothing. It has to be understood. It has to be interpreted. It has to have shape and have meaning. So you as an artist presumably have to work with the physicists who are determining what that meaning is. What's that process like for you as a, I think, non-physicist?
Yes, that's right, non-physicist. Well, I had to ask a lot of questions, and it was really interesting for me after asking many, many of them, you know, what is a metaphor for you, if you could try to come up with a metaphor of what data is for you? And I was really surprised at how much they talked about it like an organism, like a system, like a constantly circulating and, you know, feedback loop. And they didn't see it as little bits and pieces. They saw it as something very organic and flowing. And so that's when I decided to use natural plant systems and organic systems as the visuals, you know, so stems, leaves, increasing in complexity to flowers, in a very abstract way, visualizing the different levels of complexity of the data. So that came through the dialogue.
One thing that I've noticed is that people really love and relate to, for example, fractals. And fractals at their base are a mathematical concept or a set of numbers, but they relate to things that form leaf patterns, as you say, and rock patterns and shoreline patterns and things like that. And there is something in the way we respond aesthetically to this kind of like mathematics and to this kind of these sets of natural systems that are also inside our own bodies. They're in our blood vessels, they're in our neurons. How do you understand that relationship between a kind of aesthetic joy and the natural world?
Well, I think that's what they was. I was really pleased that they wanted that, that they wanted an experiential piece, something that people could understand on a bodily level and not necessarily on a mathematical or left brain way. They had enough of those presentations and installations at CERN. So I think that there is always that mathematical way of understanding nature and the world around us, and then there's the sensorial way of understanding it. So what we're doing is, and I'm working with the CERN team to design and build this installation, and we're moving towards something that people will understand on that level, on a very sensorial level. And there are those two ways always of understanding the world around us. That's the artist and the scientist coming together.
Right, and they're integrally related in some way
very
that's
much.
Kind of mysterious.
Yeah, I agree. It's why I am working in this field since the 80s. I just feel like it's a weaving, you know. It's like you're always weaving back and forth between the artist's way of knowing and the scientist's way of knowing.
You're listening to the Radio Cafe. We're going to take a quick break right now to hear from our sponsor. The Radio Cafe is brought to you today by Morningstar Senior Living, which is building its newest community on Pacheco Street in Santa Fe. They'll be providing independent living, assisted living, and memory care to make sure that you and your loved ones can live fully and vibrantly in a safe environment. You can reach Morningstar Senior Living at 505-919-7989. That's 505-919-7989. Or go to morningstarseniorliving.com and let them know that you heard about it on the Radio Cafe. And now back to our program. Caitlin, tell us about the Interplanetary Festival that's happening on June 7th and 8th. It's something that's been coming together for a while at the Santa Fe Institute, and they have this sort of funny tagline, which is, what, saving the world one planet at a time?
Yeah, changing the world one planet at a time.
Right,
yeah.
Which I've never understood what that meant.
Well, so I think if I can try to explain the mission, the idea is that we're kind of in this really special moment in human history where our species is going to be split between various planets. It's Mars very soon. It's the moon very soon. It's floating around in the International Space Station. And in order to succeed in those endeavors or to get there and to prosper as a civilization, we face all of these tremendous challenges to starvation and health, to disease control, to safe travel, what have you. And so the idea is that when we kind of recalibrate our perspective on the planetary level, we might find solutions to those problems that we can then bring back to solve the same problems that exist already here on Earth. So like if we can terraform Mars successfully, then perhaps we might develop a system that allows us to find more utility in Antarctica or something to that effect, another extreme biome in a different way. But the idea is that one planet at a time, we might learn certain things that we hadn't before that would allow us to change this world. So that's the mission.
What are some other examples besides terraforming Antarctica?
Well, I think I can't speak too broadly on this, but something that I think about personally a lot is kind of the diplomacy that is going to present itself once we, you know, go to and begin to populate another planet. Is it that a planet is owned by a singular country? Are their states very much like our own? Do those planets become like countries as they equate here? Can we do that more effectively and more peacefully than we're able to do so now? Kind of navigating that social infrastructure seems really interesting to me. And maybe in doing so there, we might have a way to kind of amend the systems that we have here that might not be succeeding.
You're speaking as if it's a kind of like, it's an assumption that we're going to colonize other planets, but we haven't really even figured out how to get human beings to Mars in one piece.
No, but we are figuring that out because we are talking about it. And so I think the Interplanetary Project kind of picks up on that conversation and uses it as a means to figure out, well, so what could we be doing? I do sort of assume that it is going to happen personally. I think in our lifetime it will.
So what's actually happening at the festival? It's mm-hmm. June 7th and 8th. It's intersecting with Current's New Media. What can people expect?
So about a year ago, as a launch for the Interplanetary Project, we had a panel discussion featuring authors and artists and scientists talking about these very questions, these big, big questions about interplanetary travel or the fate or the future of human civilization. And it was really, really stimulating, but it was also really short. And there were so many questions to explore in such a very small time. So this festival will kind of parse those questions out into individualized focused panels so that we can dig a little deeper in each of these questions on a public stage. And so we're building the stage in the middle of the rail yard where the concerts take place on Saturday, same space. It's this huge stage where all of these panels will be, and then those panels are punctuated by live concerts, and there are specialized select sci-fi film screenings at both of those theaters, Jean Cocteau and Violet Crown. And then there's an immersive kind of technology or STEAM activity expo that's happening, and an adorable cosmodity market where artists have been invited to showcase their wares as it relates to the theme of interplanetary.
Okay, you've said STEAM, which is, I think, science, technology, engineering, arts.
And mathematics. Right.
And then you said cosmodity.
That's a new term that we're using.
That you just made up?
No, actually, Thomas Ashcraft, who is a local artist here who's fantastic, right, and who's been helping with the Interplanetary Project, he made that up. And I think it's just the perfect term. But yeah, it's a cosmodity market in the sense that it's some, you know, commodity that can be purchased with some cosmic interest or import there. And it's fun because it's not, you know, what you typically see at some of the markets throughout. It's a condensed collection of people exploring interplanetary and however that affects them and their creation.
And you were talking about films. Those are going to be space films of various kinds?
Yeah, or they touch on themes that might have interplanetary import too. So for instance, one of the films that we're screening is Terminator 2, which only in a little bit does it seem kind of interplanetary in its relevance. But then when you think about complex time or when you think about artificial intelligence, it becomes very relevant. But then we're, you know, Forbidden Planet and Star Trek and Fifth Element, they're kind of classic sci-fi space films.
Agnes Chavez, you are doing work, as you said, with CERN and kind of visualizing this grand data set, but you're also working with young people, you're working with kids in New Mexico, you're working with indigenous people. Tell us about what that work looks like and how you as an artist are engaging, for example, young people to really think more about both arts and sciences.
Yeah, that's the STEAM project. And I've always, as an artist, interwoven education. So whenever I'm working on any kind of project, I always somehow find a way to get youth in on the process. So that's how projecting particles came about. I was starting to develop this projection art data visualization project that I'm still involved in. And I developed this workshop to a 3-day workshop that would allow youth to learn about this process. So they would learn about particle physics, they would learn about how to do projection art, and then they would learn how to put it together to basically try to understand the universe through art. So you're understanding it through art and through particle physics. And I've been doing that since 2013. And then in 2016, I added an indigenous component when I went to Standing Rock and met Steve Tamayo, who was teaching kids Lakota cosmology by putting up a teepee and sharing some of the indigenous knowledge about the cosmos. And so I invited him to join our team. So now we have a physics and art workshop for youth, and then we have the indigenous cosmology meets particle physics version of the workshop. And we go around doing these workshops in the schools. So, and then in Taos, I bring artists in that are using art, science, and technology to work with our local community so that the community, the youth, they get to be exposed to these ideas that are so radical and changing their world in our lifetime, in their lifetime for sure, are going to change drastically. And if you live in a rural community, you don't travel, you won't have access to this kind of this knowledge. So it's really about bringing this exciting knowledge, way of working, way of thinking to youth and to rural communities is what I've been focusing on in Taos.
And one of the things that happens almost inevitably when you work with kids is they come up with brilliant, crazy stuff that you never even thought of yourself.
Yeah. Dr. Stephen Goldfarb, who's the CERN physicist that participates, he's part of the team. He says that he asked the kids like metaphorical kind of questions and they come up with answers. You know, what is dark matter? Oh, I know what dark matter is. You know, so right. They don't even have any fear or feeling like particle physics is for smart people, which I've heard before, you know, you have to be a certain person to be a particle physicist. They don't have any of those preconditions. So they're just so open to exploring these ideas. And we've started to work with younger age for that reason. They're even fourth and fifth as opposed to high school because they're even more open.
There's something about fourth grade, and maybe it's because I had a really great fourth grade teacher and we did a lot of science and stuff, but there's something about how open you are because it's right the age where you have started to really develop an ability for abstract thinking, but you haven't hit adolescence or some of that peer pressure stuff yet.
Totally, yeah. Fourth and fifth, well, it's like my favorite right now for this workshop. They're just sponges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us, Frank Rugano, in currents, that's something that you have really observed too, I think, is engagement with the public, like people who come in just to watch and pretty soon they're being surprised or they're getting engaged in ways that maybe they didn't expect.
Well, it's always been one of our priorities from the beginning of this project to engage all demographics of the public because we're working on a couple different levels. We're working on their artistic level, but we're also working on a social level in the sense of bringing art back to the public. It's become very rarefied. It's become very opaque. But it's really because of the way it's been presented to the public and the attitude towards the general public. Typically, the art world has thought, oh, well, if the general public likes it, then there's something wrong with that art. It's not actually sophisticated enough or it's not obscure enough, you know.
We're not done with that yet?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, we are moving in that direction pretty rapidly, especially with media arts, actually, and arts that are involved with technology. So that's always been one of our missions. And we've been very successful with that in the sense that we do get all demographics. For us, one of the most important things is that when the public walks in, they don't feel stupid. Like, I don't know if I'm smart enough to get this.
It sounds like the particle physics piece.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, well, of course you're smart enough to get this. And they do, but it's about attitude. It's about the way you present things to people. And it also does help definitely be working in media and technological arts because it's like a doorway for people to get into the art world. So this is very, very important to us. That's why we are also involved with kids a lot. This year we went to like 16 middle and high schools. Hannah Cram, who's our educational outreach person, she goes to the schools. She shows documentation of work that we did at the festival the year before. She shows videos and she's trying to get the kids to submit work to the festival because we show their work on a video screen. So they see other kids' works too. We also get city summer camp programs. We got like 300 kids last year from city summer camp programs and Boys and Girls Clubs. And they get it right away. You know, because our thing is we don't pick work to be accessible. We pick work that we like and we present it in a very kind of theatrical, magical way. And you don't have to dumb down art to have the public like art. You can give them very sophisticated work and people relate to it on whatever level they relate to it on. And they know if they like it or not. If you let the public know, you can decide if that's good art or bad art. It's up to you.
Right. We did a show recently on Mark Twain and Shakespeare, and I've been thinking about that because Shakespeare was really, really, really popular in America in the 19th century, and people in their covered wagons had their edition of Shakespeare and were, you know, traveling in ways that were pretty rough. And Mark Twain, Huckleberry Finn, you've got this book that a 12-year-old can read and a retired English professor can read for the 73rd time, and it's, you know, it just works in so many different mm-hmm. ways. And I think the kind of stuff that you're doing, it can really reach people on so many different levels.
Yeah, so many different levels. That's why, I mean, because I wouldn't call a lot of the work we have conceptual art. I mean, good conceptual art. In fact, you don't have to know something to appreciate it. You could appreciate it and then decide to dive deeper into it through your own study and research. And that's, but you shouldn't have to read a long text on the wall before you understand what the work is trying to do or to have some kind of effect from the work. Great, get the effect and then go read the text and
right. See.
And then you can go deeper into the work. So, but we don't really have a lot of conceptual work.
That works for me.
Yeah, I'm not saying there's some great conceptual work out there. It's just not really our
right
main thing.
So how are the three of you working together? I mean, you're doing, Agnes, something for CERN, Santa Fe Institute, Interplanetary Currents, New Media, but you're all part of one...
Futurition. That's what this umbrella organization... It's not an organization. It's like an umbrella name for this larger event that's going on. And it has several partners. There's Currents, there's Santa Fe Institute, Meow Wolf's involved, Form and Concept Gallery's involved, Art House, Thomas Art House is involved, Axel Contemporary,
Vial Cultura,
and the Rail Yard is involved. So, and there's another organization that's kind of an umbrella, starting to become an umbrella, called the Emerging Media Alliance in Santa Fe, which is a subset of the Santa Fe Film and Digital Media Commission. And pretty much all those same people are involved in this alliance. And the goal is to change the profile of Santa Fe, let people know what is the new kind of work that is being presented in Santa Fe and the new kind of science in Santa Fe. And to really get Santa Fe on the map on that level also, as well as its rich cultural heritage. So this is a big thing. And one of the focuses of the Emerging Media Alliance is to make June Emerging Media Month. So this is kind of a launch of this bigger picture of this emerging media. Mm-hmm. And the vision is really to have Santa Fe recognized as being a center, one of the chief centers in the United States and the world for emerging media arts, emerging science. And that's really one of the main goals.
And there's more on the web at santafefuturition.com. And I have to say, the Santa Fe Institute has always been great about being not only an interdisciplinary science institute, but bringing artists in. So Cormac McCarthy mm-hmm. has famously spent a lot of time here. There's a whole program where journalists spend time here. How do those interactions play out? Like, is it what happens over lunch conversations?
Yeah, I do think that it's more organic and collaborative than people might first expect. Again, there's all of these people who are representing different disciplines of science who are seated at these tables having conversations about their work. And quite often an author or an artist might have a seat at that same table and suddenly new, really interesting things emerge. And so there's this back and forth, I think, which is why we do so often invite artists to work up here and to collaborate with us. And why so often we're coming down and hoping to work with organizations like Currents or like Biocultura or Paseo. There is a lot of reward in that tether in between. Actually, one of the reasons why Interplanetary and Currents overlap is because when we were trying to figure out how we could create some vehicle for complexity science to be more inviting and less inaccessible, we realized that, you know, there are people who go to Currents every single year and they're blown away and they're inspired and they leave with this new, you know, metric of value. And that's exactly the kind of feeling that we want complexity science to imbue into the people who attend this festival. So we went straight to Frank and Mariana and said, listen, we have this idea. What do you think? And then we've been tethered ever since. And so there is something really powerful in that kind of collaboration.
You were talking about the panel discussion that happened last year.
Yeah.
And how you're going to go deeper into some of those questions during this upcoming event. What are some of those big questions that you're asking?
So it's so easy when you're having a very short conversation about interplanetary future to talk about ecosystems and that future, animals or motion technology and how to get there, or laws and policy or economies once we get there, but you can't really delve deeply into those questions all at once. And so we're dividing these panels out. There is one on social and economic engineering that hopes to kind of get at how we will develop certain societal constructions or institutions in a really effective and holistic and compassionate way. Versus motion and energy technology. How can we get there? Do we have the capacity to do so now? Is there something that we've declined because of certain fears or historical prejudice that would actually be really wonderful in the future? Things like that. And so there's something, it kind of actually speaks to all of the disciplines that we kind of research here.
So for more information, you can go to santafefuturition.com. Futurition, spell it like it sounds. And there's a thing you can click on that says festivals and events. And from there, you can go to Currents New Media, you can go to the Santa Fe Institute Interplanetary Festival, you can go to all the different things that are happening. There's also a calendar. If you want to find out more about Agnes Chavez's work, you can go to agneschavez.com, and it's a great site with a lot of very interesting stuff, including videos about your work and working with the young people and so on. I want to thank you all so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe. Frank Regano is co-founder of Currents New Media. Agnes Chavez, interdisciplinary artist. Caitlin McShay, interplanetary festival director. And that's a program within another program here at SFI.
Right. So that is one of a couple of programs under the Miller Omega Programs program.
And what do they do?
So the Miller Omega Program seeks to kind of highlight and promote certain researchers. So for instance, some of these artists that come in and work at Santa Fe Institute, it kind of promotes their research, but it also promotes events or endeavors that put complexity in a new space and invite more to complexity in a way that they hadn't done before. So it's kind of innovative complexity expression.
Before we go, Agnes, you were talking earlier about a talk that you're giving. Tell us the details on that.
Right. So it is it's called a LASER talk, and LASER stands for Leonardo Art Science Evening Rendezvous, and it brings artists and scientists together for informal presentations and conversation. So we'll be having one of these. It's free, it's open to the public, and it'll be at the Evoke Gallery at the same night, opening night of the Currents.
And during Interplanetary.
And during Interplanetary. And yes, so that's where I will be, and I'll be speaking with Richard Loewenberg, who's going to be talking about NASA, and I'll be talking about my CERN projects.
And that's at 6, right?
That's at 6
and
o'clock.
And the Currents opening night is 6 till midnight.
Excellent. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we will see you there. An amazing weekend. And actually, let's not forget that Currents goes on through the 24th of June. It's a long festival, and it's open. Is it open every day?
We're closed Mondays and Tuesdays.
Okay, so all the other days.
And open till midnight on the weekends.
Very, very nice. And I love things that stay out late in this town. Thanks, everybody, for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
You've been listening to the Radio Cafe. I'm your host, Mary Charlotte. This program is brought to you in part by Dotfoil Computer Services, providing computer repair and business services for Apple and PC. They're Santa Fe's only Apple-authorized service provider. You can find them on the web at dotfoil.com and in the Candyman Center in Santa Fe. This program is produced in collaboration with the Santa Fe New Mexican. An independent newspaper since 1849, the New Mexican is on the web at santafenewmexican.com, where you can find out about our community and you can subscribe to the digital and paper editions. You can also find previous episodes of the Radio Cafe on the web at radiocafe.org. And if you want to send any feedback on the show, ideas, or comments, please write an email to feedback@radiocafe.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.